Well, for the opening, I just had a short reminder just to for us to just beware of the snares of and the traps of Satan. Proverbs says, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that guards his soul shall be far from them." And another proverb says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man you shall not go, lest you learn his ways and get a snare to your soul." I thought of the story of Cain and just how, like, Cain was just trapped by anger. And it's almost like Satan was able to sow that wicked seed into Cain's heart, and, like, it just had dominion over Cain. And anger can really do that. And not only anger, but I think things like riches and hatred, jealousy and pride and lust do it to the soul of man. And I think instead of Cain ruling over the sin ruled over him, like it's mentioned. Genesis says, "And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is towards you, but you should rule over it." I can just remember a lot of times when I have just been angry. Like, I just remember my heart just burned with anger. And it's almost like those things are just so captivating to men's soul. Like, it just, in a way, it can just rule over a man and, like, bring destruction. And when men yield to anger, I think it causes a lot of destruction. And I've also noticed things like pride and lust and jealousy makes the heart just burn. James says, "The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God." I had this thought that, like, the same darkness that overcame Cain and, like, moved Cain to slay Abel, like, that's the same darkness till this day that tries to rule over our souls. In the Psalms, it says, "Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me." And, like, I think we just need understanding from God, like, in real critical ways. Because, like, it said the serpent was the most cunning beast of the field. And, like, I think when people don't have understanding, I think in real subtle ways, I just think Satan can just, like, cause people to stumble. Proverbs 14:8 says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." And another proverb says, "When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks froward things." And on the contrary, another proverb, it says, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and looked upon it and received instruction." And, like, I had this thought that, like, when we partake in the ways of God, like, it delivers us from the snares of Satan. And just how, like, the ways of God, like, will cause us to have dominion over sin. This proverb says, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." This verse in the Septuagint says, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life, but the man void of understanding will die by a snare." I mentioned it, I think, a couple weeks ago, just how, like, love would deliver a man. I mentioned how I was at work one day, Like I was just irritated for no reason. Like I was just upset at everybody. Like I was trying to blame everyone else, but then I was like, I just need to love these people and like do the best that I can to help people around me. And like I noticed that something within me was just like free. Like something broke, like my day went better. And like in a lot of ways, through love, like we can get the dominion. Like Jesus wants to put us up here, like to have the dominion over the sin. And when men put forth effort to willfully reject darkness and strive towards the ways of God, like there is a real deliverance. I also notice just having faith and patience can deliver us from Satan. I remember times when I've struggled with things, like something specific, and I just didn't know what to do about it. But I was just like, you know, I'm just going to have faith, be patient, just wait for the Lord. He'll get me through this. And like I was just freed. Like, and I feel like if I didn't strive towards the path of faith and patience, in some real secret way, I think Satan could have like bound me up, you know, like within my heart. And Paul says in Corinthians, he says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's all I have for this morning.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate that. I can relate to such feelings as well, and victories, and also not over all those things either. There's a battle. There's an enemy, and there's a battle. And I just feel encouraged to even press more into the kingdom. Thank you.
Likewise, Brother Darren, thank you for admonition, and whether you're young or old, I was thinking of that verse in Ephesians, let all anger and bitterness be removed from your heart. And then the next verse says, be tender-hearted, love, loving, forgiving, as Christ has forgiven you. Talking to my friend from this week from Addie, Washington, and I think Brother Casey's met him once, Norman Paris. He's 77. And we were talking about spiritual things, and he mentioned, I don't know how we got in the subject, but we should talk about spiritual things, but he mentioned that when you're going to church, his wife Kathy, had one of the members, her father died, and Kathy told the other women about the time for the funeral. There's going to be a funeral, the date for the funeral service. And the daughter of the mother who passed away, she told Kathy that you had no right to do that, to spread that around, and I could never forgive you. I will never forgive you for what you said. And Norman and Kathy pleaded with her and said, you just committed spiritual suicide. Jesus says in Matthew 18, if you don't forgive from your heart, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And so we were even, but he was just saying that some people can imagine saying that, I will never forgive you for what you did. And they pleaded with her, and I don't know if she's still living, but let's not ever do that. We can forgive 7 times 70, and the Lord be magnified.
Yeah, I appreciated the message. I was thinking about when you come together to congregate, that that point of being able to confess your faults one to another, especially in these ways, it does seem to give you a feeling of a leg up recognizing the problem. Whether it was related to bitterness or anger. And it seems like when you let one of those in, the rest of it kind of follows, like, and maybe it has to do with that passage about the man that swept his house clean and cast out the demon, and then that demon returns back with 7 more just like him, or worse. makes your situation that much harder to fight against. But I wondered if anybody had thought about that part where Jesus says, and I don't know if it's just a translation difference or that part that says, like, be angry and sin not. Like, how that was supposed to work. Like, not let it totally take over, or what? How would you do that? Does anybody know?
Brother Brett Hancock is our brother who studied Greek a lot, and he claims that that passage is basically mistranslated, and that a better translation is, when you're feeling anger arise in you, don't sin. And I hope I remembered Brett's translation right.